Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Welcome, listeners. This is Divya Parekh, your today's show host. And I will introduce myself a little bit. As every one of you knows, I am an international leadership career wellness coach and being a co-author of an amazing international Amazon bestseller book, The Voyage to Your Vision. I partner with clients in a creative process that inspires them to step into the brilliance, and just not only step into the brilliance, also to stay into that brilliance and stay in the dialogue and go beyond confidence, go to the next level and achieve what every one of us is capable of. So thank you for joining in, and I would like to share the call-in number again at 646-716-9397. And I have the pleasure to announce today that I have four extremely powerful guests with me today. So sharing a little bit about Michael Robbins. He is an abundance revealer. He teaches and supports people in practicing the science of how to have whatever you want. LJ Jackson is an award-winning women's empowerment expert, mentor, inspirational speaker, author, master success coach, and NLP coach with 20 years of experience helping thousands of people. Our next guest is Jennifer Schwittmaker. She is the Buddha with Bling author, speaker, and new thought leader. She has carved a fresh new way that reincorporates the physical portion, allowing us to progress and coexist as an integral whole. And our other guest is Susie Deggett. She's a business and life consultant. She writes, speaks, and teaches about soul and ego choices in everyday living. Her book, Pearls, 52 Contemplative Insights, offers practical life advice and timeless spiritual wisdom. Dear listeners, I'm very excited about today's show because having so many phenomenal people with me is going to be a perfect show. So without further ado, I'm going to invite Michael and all our esteemed guests to share a little bit about themselves so that way you can get a glimpse on the landscape through which their lives have traveled and get to know them a little bit. Michael, thank you for joining us. Please share about yourself.
Thank you. Great to be here, and it's always a delight to share, and then a mystery because what will I say? I will say the truth that sets you free, who I really am, who is who really everybody is, a consciousness, a supreme awareness that is behind the body-mind, which gives life to it, sustains it, and it is absolutely brilliant, it is absolutely peaceful, totally loving, and it has a magnificent purpose for every person. We're all so much greater than we realize, largely because we've been extremely conditioned in this world by so many forces to think of ourselves as limited, separate beings. And there is an identity that experiences that, and yet behind that is a real identity, which is eternal, which people are beginning to wake up to, beginning to tap into. And that's life-changing for the individual and life-changing for the world. I personally offer a free discovery session so people can have whatever you would like to have. You're creators. You have that power. You just need to know how to align with it. So I could go on for a long time, but I think with all the other people to share and the nature of the show, I will stop at this point and say that you are magnificent, and I see the brilliance in you.
Thank you, Michael.
I'd say for me, just to share a little bit more, I think it's truly my heart and soul's desire to help empower and inspire others. For me, it started on a personal journey, just growing up as a child. A lot of different painful things happened to me, and just abuse and different things like that. And so what I found was I grew up feeling powerless. And so as I discovered and learned to tap into my own personal power, then I wanted to help others do the same. And then also in my work over the last 20 years in working with children, teens, and adults, what I found with the children and the teens was oftentimes when I would speak with the parents, then the parents had this history or cycle or family pattern of unresolved issues that were affecting the present. And so then I said, how can I really make the most difference and most impact moving forward? And so I realized, wow, if I can help the parents and help the mothers and help her resolve her issues and unmask her pain and tap into her power, then that can help the family and change their legacy for generations to come.
Thank you, LJ.
Hi, this is Jennifer Schutemacher. Yes, I like you, we are consciousness, but we're doing a dance in form. And form is what got put on the low end of the totem pole. Because I think like perhaps you, we've been raised to believe that it is the part of us, this physical body and this physical form and the physical world, was the part we were supposed to transcend and deny and repress in order to get to that, what my grandmother always told me, that better place that was not this place, that was not this physical world, that was in a place that where when I left this world, and that's what I was supposed to spend my life doing, was trying to get to this other place. And it left us fragmented as a species and fragmented as a society, as this got passed on from generation to generation for thousands of years. And now we're trying to wake up, but we haven't grown up because we're in pieces. And you know, of course, because we're spiritual, but we're mental, emotional, and physical as well. And now as I'm helping to reincorporate us into this evolutionary masterpiece that we've always been, because we are creation and we are the force of life that has always been creating for us, to us, as us. So I have just published in my book, Why We Don't Awaken and What Holds Us Back from Reaching Our Full Potential. These are huge ideas, but you know, this is who we are. So I thank you. I thank you for joining us and for joining all of us and what we can bring tonight. So thank you very much.
Hi, this is Susie Daggett, and I'm just entranced listening to my other three co-presenters because they're all so brilliant, and my brilliance is a little different. I really like to have the interface between where the soul is going and who the soul is, and how the ego gets in our way most all the time. So I talk about who's being the loudest. And for most of us, it's our ego. It's what we're used to hearing, and our soul has been put, sadly, not really in second place, but we just haven't been as aware of it as we are becoming aware of it, which is fabulous. When I was very young, I had a little voice come to me that said, everything you're being taught is not for you. And that one little sentence that came out of the ethers, out of the blue, no reason for it at all, you know, was a life changer, and it made me think that there is obviously something so much greater than us, and it is the love that is source energy. And I write posts to source energy on my website, dearsource.com. I'm writing a book on it. My other book, Pearls, 52 Contemplative Insights, is just about practical life wisdom, and those thoughts that are in there, the pearls, came to me again through this beautiful, thoughtful voice that comes into my head when I'm listening. So a lot of it is the listening part and getting tuned in to how you hear your intuitive self, how you hear your heart, how you hear your soul, and how you hear your ego and how to quiet it so that you can hear your soul. So I'll pass it back to Divya.
Thank you, Susie. Wow. It's brilliance all around. So thank you for joining me, and thank you for sharing your stories. And of course, dear listeners, you know where you can contact them, and we will be re-sharing the information at the end of the show. So without any other further thoughts, we are going to jump right into the soul of the show that's going to be today, is what is a soul activator? We have the name of the show that it's soul activator. Let's define it. Let's find out who is a soul activator and what does it mean. So Michael, would you please share with us how did it all come together, what it is, and what does soul activation do to people?
Well, it works on many levels, but the soul is the inner being. It is the eternal essence that abides within, and soul activation is the discovery and experience of that reality, whereas much of the world has lived only in the physical, emotional, what you can touch, you know, and what you can see with the feel, touch, hear with the senses. But there's a beyondness that is available and is compelling, because the gifts of life are therein. But an interesting story, how we all got to be soul activators on a different level. A friend of mine that I hadn't seen for 15 years calls me up and says, how'd you like to gather agents of transformation? His name is Jared, and he's the CEO of DreamSculpt. And I said, yeah, that sounds great. So he puts out these visually stunning ebooks with very brief 1-minute pictorial messages. And Soul Activators is a book which the all four of us were in, along with 22 other soul activators, each delivering a message. So what we do has many names. But for this book, Emerging, it was called Soul Activators. So that's my sharing for this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And that's so powerful, bringing everyone together and sharing the message with different perspectives. And I can definitely relate to that, because the book that I had co-authored was an anthology too. And when you see the power of people coming together and sharing their messages, it's nothing but stepping into brilliance. So, LJ, how would you like to share about your thoughts on defining, like, yes, this is a book, it's a collection of people who are transformational powers, helping people transform. How did it all come together, and what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, great question. So I'd say that what I found in doing this project was, you know, I first of all had to say, you know, is this project for me? Am I a soul activator? I don't necessarily heal people on their energy level or as far as, you know, higher consciousness with energy healing and things like that. But then I thought about it, and kind of like Susie said, not everything is for you. But then the things that are, it's important to find the right person to help you. And so to answer your question, I'd say soul activation for me, I thought, you know what, all of us that are healers, whether we're coaches or therapists or the different modalities that we use, we really are creating a space for people to meet them where they are and to help them discover and find what's for them so that they can, you know, live on the highest level of consciousness and being and creation and power and just really live the life that we're all meant to live when we were put here on this planet. So I think that soul activation is really just activating that part of us that's deep down within our spirit that says, yes, this is for me, or, okay, now I understand, now I see, and now I know where I want to go to next or what steps to take. And thank you for helping me on my path to get there. So that's what soul activation means.
Very profound. It's about stepping into your best self and connecting with yourself. Would you agree?
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. Beautiful. So then the next question comes up is, we have talked about the soul activation. If there is someone who is entrenched in day-to-day lives, you know, people are busy, they have got kids, they're running around from day to day, you know, you get up in the morning, you're making lunches for your children, you are getting ready to go either to a corporate job or it's being an entrepreneur. So many times people will jump into their emails, get distracted. Everybody's just rushing through that morning rush hour. You drop off the kids, or one partner is staying with the kids, one partner is going to work, and then they're rushing through. There's mad hour rush, the morning rush hour, and then of course, you know, people are cutting each other. And then the whole conundrum of life starts, and you go through the corporate world job, or you can be an entrepreneur, you're meeting people, you go with excitement, hoping that one of your prospective clients is going to turn into your clients, or the collaboration, joint venture that's trying to take place. You've worked hard on it. There are disappointments. There are moments that where you have fun, you have joy. So amidst all this, how can we become soul activator? Jennifer, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
Thank you. That's a great question. And I think in the forefront, the great thing to think about is when you're referring to my job, my life, my home life, we are so used to compartmentalizing our life. And there is no such thing anymore. And there really wasn't a such thing in the past, because it's all one life. You know, we don't have that life here and there and everywhere, because it's all our life, one life, just like it's not spiritual versus material. It's all spiritual. And I feel like when we see from this new eyes and we leave that lens behind, it becomes a whole new perspective, a whole new way of looking at the world and our lives. And I feel like we are definitely on this verge and way of seeing things where, you know, it's no longer necessary to live in an ashram or shave our head or wear a saffron robe or chant all day, or, you know, there's all these requirements of the yesterday that, you know, so-called that's the way to become enlightened or spiritual or religious or whatever the requirements used to be. But this is no longer, because there was never a 10-step plan to become enlightened. You know, there was never a mantra or something you could chant, because enlightenment was not something that you could aspire to. It was not something you could pursue. It's something that ensues. It's something that ensues because it's something that was already there. It's a recognition of what's already there. And I think to come back to your question, yes, modern life, we have screaming two-year-olds, commutes, and jobs. So we can't go on that mountaintop or under the Bodhi tree for 6 months or years. It's no longer, convenient, nor is it necessary, because it's all one beautiful, amazing life. And the everyday is the extraordinary. And so I think when we step back and look at it as through that lens, I hope that that helps, because there's so many ways to look at it if our everyday does become extraordinary.
I like that. Every day becomes extraordinary, and that definitely resonates with me, because what I use in one of my coaching practices as one of my tools is I will ask my clients between every session, I'll ask them, how many memorable days did you have? And initially they will say, with memorable days, and they fall into that pattern of thinking. So it's again living that life. So yes, we may be rushing through it, whether you are single, whether you're married, whether you're old, whether you are, wherever you are. This gift of life that we have in our hands is of the moment, having that mindfulness can take us from ordinary to extraordinary. So continuing on that thread of thought, Susie, how would you like to highlight?
Well, what I would say is that in the busyness of life, there are always soul attributes, and you can become kind, you can smile, you can be grateful, even in the rushing craziness of that mad hour when you're trying to get the kids out the door and the phone rings and you don't want to answer it. There is a way to step aside a little bit and say, okay, I have a choice in every moment, and my choice is now to answer that phone with kindness, to put my hand on my kid's head, to ground them, to ground myself, and use soul attributes rather than using the ego attributes, which are, you know, madness, craziness, you know, just going into chaos and despair and reaction in the most disquieting way that doesn't help anybody. If you can, in the morning, before you wake up, all the way when you're in that hypnagogic state, if you can work on gratitude for the moment, gratitude that you're waking up alive, gratitude that you have your family, gratitude that they go to a good school, gratitude that you love your job or you're changing your job, gratitude that your husband is still kind to you, whatever, you know, is out there, find something, pull it in, and put it in your heart and live with it. And if you can live in those, any soul attributes, and they're always, always, always the positive ones, you will start shifting out of the crazy, chaotic mode of the negative. And I'm not saying that ego is always negative, but many times we say it is. But it's just more fierce and reactive. You can switch out of that to something that is helpful for you and for humankind. Everybody will start noticing about what's different about her. Why is she happy? And then they'll want to know a little bit about that. They'll want a little happiness themselves. And it's not hard. It's just a mental shift.
No, it's so true. Setting your tone of the day in gratitude. That is wonderful.
And at night, before you go to sleep, too.
No, and these are great tips that our listeners can take them straight away and implement in their lives. That setting the intention for the day, that as soon as I step out of my bed, how is it that I want to interact with my family, with my spouse, with my children, rather than going and rushing through everything, maybe take some time in the evening and prepare things so you're not rushing. Plan it out a little bit.
And it doesn't take a lot of time. It's more of a consciousness shift. I've been asking for a word in the morning when I wake up. What word do I want? It might be calm. It might be kind. It might be something weird like rain. I'm going, what does that mean? You know, I mean, it doesn't always make sense, but I try and follow that thread through the day so that if calm came to me and I really needed it when I took my 89-year-old mother on a trip and I was pushing her wheelchair, carrying two purses and pulling a suitcase and in line with eight other people to get in the airplane with wheelchairs, you know, you need to be calm then. It does not help anybody if you're in a frantic mode looking at everybody saying, why are you here? You know, if you're going, wow, isn't it cool? We're all here. We all get to pre-board and everybody has a little help. It's a different attitude. So ask yourself in the morning for a word that might come to you. That's also helpful as well as gratitude.
Yes, great, great little exercise. A great little tool to start out the day with. What is the word that you're looking for? And carry out that word throughout the day. Have focus on that day, on that word, and it will ground you back.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So we have talked about how we can become soul activators. So let's say we have become soul activators. So we have talked about a few tips and tools. Let's peek into a day of a soul activator. What is it that a soul activator does in a day-to-day life? And as Jennifer mentioned, we do not need to go to ashrams or go to retreats where we are spending $5,000 to $7,000. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's a beautiful experience. However, how can we bring that mindfulness in a day-to-day life? What is it that we can do as a soul activator? How does a day look like? So, Michael, share your thoughts on how a day in a life of a soul activator would look like.
As I was saying, it's different for everyone. You have to find your own path. They're all unique. For me, it starts with an hour of meditation. That's quintessential. In fact, get up early, early, early. I will do that, and it ends with meditation. Fortunately for myself, I create my own schedule. So at any point in the day, when my body's tired or my mind is overworked, even if I have work or something's calling me, I don't do it. I choose the highest and the best and get in tune with it. Because in the big picture, the only thing that's important is love. Nothing else. It's the only thing you're going to take with you. You're not going to take anything. When you leave this plane, you're not going to take anything with you other than the love. And we're actually on an eternal journey, and this is kindergarten. So however it works for the person to connect with the soul, connect with the spirit, and do that as often as you can. And again, some people can talk to it. Some people can breathe with it. Some people can pray into it. It's unique to the individual, but you have to have the desire and follow through consistently.
Consistency is the key. I like that. And as you mentioned, that meditation in the morning, and it does not have to be very specifically meditation. It's possible when you're running in the morning, when you're listening to the birds and you have the rhythm of your body going in the rhythm of either walking or running, That could be a meditation. It could be listening to the music in your car rather than being upset that, oh my goodness, somebody else has cut right in front of me. Now, you know, I had to put the brakes on. And rather than having that mad rush, make a point of leaving 10 minutes earlier, anticipating that traffic. And if possible, so we have now gratitude in the morning, meditation in the morning. Great tools. LJ, can you share other tools that our audience can bring into their lives to do what a soul activator does?
Yes. So I say for the listeners in bringing in soul activations to their life is kind of like your, I was thinking some of the same things you were saying, and I thought, oh, exactly, Divya, because it's TLC for the soul, you know, feeding your soul. And like Michael said, it's, you know, different for everyone, but yet whatever that is to start your day as a soul activator by feeding your soul. So like you said, whether that's music or meditation, prayer, walking, you know, something kinesthetic, just feeding your souls, because you have to take care of yourself and your spirit and your soul before you can really give to others. And I heard that Lisa Nichols say once that, you know, we have to make sure we give from our overflow and not, you know, give from our cup. And so I'd say being a soul activator is taking care of you and your soul first, starting your day that way. And then everything else that you do is, you know, a goal to use your soul and your feelings as your compass to do whatever you do, whether that's being the best parent you could be, the best employee, the best entrepreneur, whatever that is for you, to just feed your soul and then do your best to give from that space in your day. And then what I have to confess that the clients that I work with oftentimes, and for the listeners who maybe are saying, you know what, that sounds so great, however, there's just so much going on in my life that you don't even understand. And for you, I'd say that I totally get it. And what I'd recommend you do is to use your feelings as your compass and say, okay, what's going on inside of me or on the outside, you know, externally, that's trying to send me a message that something either needs to change in my environment or in my mindset. And then, you know, take out a journal or, you know, write something down, you know, and just whatever comes to you in the silence, in the quiet, and go from there.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you. Jennifer, would you like to add any other tips and tools for that?
I completely concur with the panel here. And I do myself highly believe in meditation, although sometimes meditation, as you said, takes on many forms. And I have to admit, sometimes it's even a baking meditation, complete mm-hmm. with tasting what I'm baking. Nice. But yeah, and walking and is a huge thing for me. And I'm fortunate enough to live where it's sunshine almost every day. And I cannot tell you what it does for my soul and my psyche, but I do consciously choose to get out there every morning extremely early and greet the day. And it does wonders to me. And I just would, if anyone could just try something that would, if there is, because we all have times, I mean, LJ talked about overwhelm, and none of us are, you know, we cannot avoid some of this. These are all human things. And I can tell you, I just had 11 guests in my house, and there are many non-soul activating moments that I had. And but there is nothing better than the physical world that could pull me back in, because there is nothing more present than something that is present. And you know, when you're looking at the ocean or a tree or an animal, you know, these things are, they have the quality of the absolute running in them all the time. They are completely present and in the moment. And that is why we feel so at peace and these, in the presence of these physical things. And, you know, I really find solace looking at the moon or looking at, you know, being at one in this, in these physical, everyday, extraordinary moments. You know, there's so many times it's amazing. I have to say this tiny little story where I just last week where I was at a grocery store and I was literally standing there as a double rainbow was over my head, but yet no one that was going past me even saw it or looked up at the sky. And that's just a sort of a simple analogy of our lives, because I was sitting there in awe, looking probably like a fool because my mouth was open and I just stood there looking at the rainbow, but yet everyone was going in and out of the grocery store at entrance and no one saw it. So these are the little moments that escape us every day, folks, and they're there every day if we look for them, if we look for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. That is so true. It's about little moments. And I really love walking as well. We've got beautiful lakes in North Carolina. And so a couple of days back, to share a small story, when I was at the lake visiting nature along with my friend, we literally saw the stillness of the waters and the sky, trees, everything being reflected back as a mirror, and just the beauty of it. And sometimes that same water will be twinkling and we are able to see the stars in the daytime. How fortunate we are that, as you mentioned, that the nature is always present and it brings us back in the present. It could be simple flowers in your yard. It could be as simple as the roses you are seeing as you're walking down. And I'm sure none of your neighbors are going to mind if you're going to stop there and sniff their roses. You know, as they say, take a moment to smell the roses. So Susie, do you have any tools in your toolkit that you would like to share with the audience?
I do. When I wake up in the morning, I am not the most early morning meditator. I do that a little later, but I go out, and we have a very private backyard, and I immediately say my prayers, and I talk about people who need special healing or, you know, whose family has just passed or something, and then I do the four directions, and then I do that every morning, even in hotel rooms when I can't go outside, which is a bummer because I really love being outside. And then in the shower, in California it's kind of getting dicey, but I do still shower. And I ground myself in my prayers in the shower before I get out of the shower. And I do that every morning as well. It's just an automatic, necessary thing, and what I have to remember, because it is automatic, is to put my heart and soul into it and not just let it be every day. I do meditate, but I totally agree that mindful meditation is the best thing in the universe, and that luckily it can go out to many, many people. And I do a lot of sweeping up of leaves in our yard, and to me that is very mindful, because what it does is what any mindful or any meditation does. It gets you out of your very busy, overwrought left brain and into your creative right brain, where puzzles can be solved and things can be figured out, and all of a sudden you have that aha moment and you go in and write something clever down on your computer or whatever you're going to do. And I have to do that, and I also just love kind of standing outside myself a little bit and watching the flow of the world to see how I'm interacting with it and if I need to make an adjustment or not. And that's a really good trick if people can learn to do that. And it's not self-centered or anything. It's just like it's a watching to see where your soul is expanding and where your ego is maybe contracting. And that's always a good thing. And I love all the talk about gratitude of our world. I am eternally grateful for every bird sound and flower and tree. I had birds nesting in a tree today. I had to go see if I could see them. They didn't want me to see them, which was sad because I wanted to see them. But the babies were so hungry and so busy, and the mommy and daddies were just in there giving them food. And just having that gratitude that is here in our reality. That is part of what Source created, just like he created you. And I think gratefulness and appreciation are fabulous tools.
Mm, very profound. Absolutely. It's, yes, it's little things. And it doesn't take mm-hmm. up a lot of it. And that's where the mindfulness comes in. And talking about the mindfulness, as our esteemed panel has shared so many powerful tools with us, one of the stories I'd like to share, I was just coming from the science background over 25 years, I'm always looking for data and research. Recently, a study was published that a very acclaimed musician, Josh, was standing on the Boston subway station and he was playing his music. He's playing his mm-hmm. instrument. Maybe one person stopped by to listen to him and nobody stopped and listened. Whereas people pay hundreds of dollars to go see him conduct the music in theater or when we are having our music festivals and shows, and that goes to say that you can find mastery, you can find experts, you can find the genuine beauty in day-to-day life and even in yourself. So that's where we miss out. Rather than recognizing the genius within us, we are looking outside seeking that validation. So dear listeners, please go ahead, spend that moment to reflect. Now, one of the questions comes is that, yes, we have figured out a way to be mindful, and that's what we do. Now, what is the reason that we should listen to a soul activator? What's the key behind it? So, Michael, I'd like to invite you to share, why is it so valuable?
Well, it improves everything in your life. It has the potential to be endlessly and increasingly valuable. That's like the pearl of great price. It is the jewel of all jewels. So we are rolling out the carpet with an invitation. Because there is much suffering in the world. There is much confusing. It is too fast. There is a lot of struggle and stress. And there's a solution. And that's what, I mean, there is no area in your life that it would not be valuable in. So activation of the soul feeds every area of your life with something that's primary.
How about LJ, from your perspective, what significance listening to a soul activator brings to our life? Jennifer, would you like to share?
Yes, I'm sorry, you thought you went to LJ.
Yeah, not sure if I think so. Her call may have dropped off for some reason.
I see. Yes, I mean, in different ways, but I think primarily it's to remind one of their own magnificence, that, in my opinion, because there was never, you were never broken and there was nothing to fix, which is actually the title of my first book. But it took me a long time to really feel that and recognize that myself. And, you know, as you had mentioned before, instead of, you know, most of us, I mean, we seek and we search outside, like Dorothy with the Wizard of Oz. You know, we think we have to go on this long yellow brick road seeking out the answers from a wizard who, as we all know, ended up a fraud. He was really nothing. He just had a microphone and he was all props. And Dorothy found out she had the power all along. And at the end of this frustrating long journey, you know, when she asked Glinda the Good Witch, "Why didn't you tell me?" And Glinda replied to her, "Because you would not have believed me. You had to find out for yourself." And so, mm-hmm. you know, in effect, we all have to find out for ourselves. So while I'm still answering your question and saying, yes, this is what I bring to the table and what soul activators can remind you, it still is a journey of the individual. It still, you know, must go on with the individual. And yes, we need catalysts and reminders along the way, and that's great. But reminders only to go back to within ourselves, you know, to be reminded that we do have the power. And we do know the way home. We do know the way back to ourselves. So that I think is the most important thing to remember. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. And I see LJ has joined us. So LJ, moving on to the next question. Share your top two takeaways from being a soul activator, that if one becomes a soul activator, what are the two top areas of life that we can improve by being a soul activator?
Great question. I'd say the two top things that I've discovered or learned or takeaways would be that, like Jennifer was saying, that was Jennifer, right?
Yes.
That it's like being a soul activator is your job is just to hold the mirror up so that the person looking, you know, back or through that, looking at that mirror can see that, you know, all they need is the power's with them. You know, this is your soul. This is your journey. This is your life. And it's meant to be lived completely through you and that you have what it takes. However, sometimes when I'd say, so that's number one, just that, you know, a soul activator holds the mirror up for you to look within to see, you know, what you have within you. And number two would be that where there's a lack of clarity, there's confusion, and a confused mind can't or has a challenge in making decisions and living with passion and taking action. And so the soul activator's second job is to hold that mirror up and then help you gain clarity so that you can live with passion and take inspired action so that you live out your destiny and whatever that is for you.
Love it. Living with passion, following your dreams and taking the inspired action. And inspired action is the way to go, because motivation does not last for long, whereas inspiration comes from within, and that will give you the strength to continue through the hard times as well. So definitely I can see that power of being a soul motivator, especially in the area of money, because all of us think about that having money is bad. However, if you were to look into, especially for a service provider, that you're providing value, you're servicing and helping other people, then your relationship with money changes. And when we're talking about the relationship with money, Susie, what are your thoughts? And also sharing your thoughts on that, how would you also go about sharing your top two things where being a soul activator would improve people's lives?
Well, I'm going to go to the top two because I know that our time is short, and I'd like to talk about two things that I think could really improve people's lives, and one of them is everything is okay as it is. Now, that may look funny to people because they go, what do you mean? I'm working two jobs, and I have three kids, and I can't get to soccer practice, and it's a soul journey. It's a soul lesson. Really, truly, everything is okay as it is. Even if you have a horrible illness or a horrible accident or something bad happens, you notice that people tend to wake up after a trauma or drama has hit them, and they start investigating what is right for them. And so there's this path that we're all on. It's individual. Nobody can call it. It's what it is. And to me, it's all good. Even if it looks really bad, it's all good because it comes from source energy. Source is all love, and that, as Michael said, that's all there is. That's what we are going back to when we go to the other side, is just love. And if we can keep that in our mind, that even though things look bad or look really good, it's still good and it's what it is. And then, of course, I forgot the other beautiful point I was going to bring forward, but it'll even come, or I'll just pass the baton to someone. But I feel definitely like we are here on this earth as a journey. Our souls are eternal, as we've all talked about. They live part of the time in our bodies, part of the time on the other side. Our bodies are very temporary. All of our things and all of our stuff is very temporary. What really matters is what you tune into to make you the best person you can be. I just love the saying, life is good, because it is good, but that's an attitudinal thing. If you adopt life is good and you're driving and somebody cuts you off, you can just say, okay, you can have the road. I'll sit back here and I'll go slower. That's a difference that can make you activate your own soul, because you're living in the present, in the moment, rather than getting mad or angry. You're just allowing it to be. And letting it be as it is a beautiful way to live life.
Yes. That's lovely. Everything is as is, because everything is love. We are all connected. The connectivity and the essence of seeing that love in each and every one of us, and even within us, taking that as a compassion towards ourselves and looking at others with compassion and love melts away the drama and the trauma of the life, as you so mentioned. Beautiful.
Beautifully said. Yes, thank you. You stated it very nicely.
Thank you. And thank you, folks. This has been so phenomenal. And I would like to touch, before we go towards the end of our program, is money is such a critical issue in most of the people's lives. So, Michael, how would you say that being a soul activator, how does that change your relationship with the money?
It gives you confidence to know that you absolutely deserve it, and what you focus on, you become. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is imagination. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and we operate the same way. If you will hold in your mind what you would like to happen with money, because is what you make it, and consistently feel the feeling of having what you would like to have as an already fact, especially before you go to sleep, because it lodges in the subconscious, you will attract to you whatever it is that you want. So knowledge of the soul, which is and that pure imagination, gives you the confidence and the ability to be the creator that you are.
LJ?
And I'd say, for me, what helped make a difference, I would hear people talk about money and higher consciousness and things like that, and what helped me was to go back and saying, okay, everything is comes from source, we're all energy, and saying, okay, life is meant to be full and abundant. And so with that, I don't know if you've ever heard the expression, money doesn't grow on trees, and what, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of hearing that. Then I thought, wait a minute, trees are made out of paper, and paper's made out of trees. I mean, money's made out of paper, and paper's made from trees. And I said, you know what, that's saying so not true anyway. So abundance is, our God-given place, and it's just finding, getting back to that. So I love the way Michael said it. That was beautifully said. But, yes, abundance and knowing that we're meant to have a full, loving, full, beautiful life, and all this other stuff is just secondary.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like a tree saying to another tree, oh, no, you take the water and the abundant sunshine, I'll just wither and die because I'm just not, I'm not meant to be abundant, and that's not what we're meant to do here. It's completely absurd. I've been, this is what I teach as well. And of course, it's like, saying to the butterflies, we must pluck ourselves from our feathers, we must, anything to not become abundant or to thrive, and it's utter nonsense. It's just, a collective domesticated beliefs that have been passed down, because really money is another just term that we're using now to describe something that's been going on for eons as an exchange, whether it's been goats or rocks or whatever it is, an exchange for something else. It's all, it's all it really is. There's nothing more complicated than that. But I think we've put so much emotion and extraneous, rules and how to do it and how to manifest. It's just become so complicated. And it really is just the simplistic act of exchange for what we give and receive to each other. So that's it.
Absolutely. Money's something. It's the emotion that comes with the money. It's the freedom of doing what you want to do, following your dream. And if we have that in mind, then it's not about making the money. It's not about paying the bills. It's about following your dreams and passions, and also what value you can provide to other people as a service provider. And Susie, if you'd like to give a couple of your thoughts.
Well, I am fortunate, as I have always felt that I was fully supported. And I can't tell you what that means, because I don't make a ton of money, but I'm fully supported by my family. I'm fully supported by my inner sense of self. I'm fully supported by Source, and it keeps me grounded, that very thought. And it's deep in my soul. I didn't create it. It just came with my package. And I'm highly appreciative of it, because it has proven to be true. Like many people, we worry about money, but do we really need anything? Are we really wanting, or are we really just fine? And it's a symbol that some people hold high, and a symbol that some people just use as an energy exchange. And I will go for the energy exchange like all the other soul activators.
I love it. And I would like to take this moment to thank each and every one of you, Michael, LJ, Jennifer, and Susie, for sharing your time and wisdom with our listeners. I'm sure our listeners have picked up a ton of very powerful information, life-changing information. And my gratitude to every one of you sharing your wisdom. And before we part ways, I'm going to invite each and every one of you to share your information where our audience can reach you if there are any questions. Michael?
I offer a free discovery session of your magnificence and ability to have anything. My email is Robin, R-O-B-I-N-S, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-L, at yahoo.com or 386-847-7846.
Thank you, Michael. LJ?
Yes, thank you, Divya, for having us on the show today. And I'd say for listeners wanting to get a hold of me, you can reach me at personalpowerwithin.com, where I'll provide a free personal power consultation.
Thank you. Jennifer?
Thank you so much for all this. And yes, you can reach me at jennifershutemacher.com. I know that's a terribly long name. It's S-C-H-U-I-T-E-M-A-K-E-R. I married a Dutch man. That's what happened. Anyway, I do, if you like my Facebook page, I do have lots of these similar type, podcasts, YouTube, lots of things that are free on my, if you like my Facebook page, in addition to my newest book, which was just published a couple of months ago, Why We Don't Awaken, which is available on Amazon. Thank you so much for having me on this panel.
Thank you. Susie?
Well, Divya, thank you. You're a great host, and it's very interesting to see how the four of us interacted with such ease, and that's because of you. So I'm sure your audience will love that. People can get a hold of me. My name is Susie Daggett, and my website is dearsource.com. I have a free gift to sign up for my when I send a on my website. And my book, Pearls, 52 Contemplative Insights, is available on Amazon. And my next book, Dear Source, will be out soon. We never give an end date because you never know what's going to happen, but it's going to be out soon.
It's coming.
So thank you. It's coming.
Thank you again, everyone, for joining me today. And thank you, listeners, for joining me. If you need to reach me, your host, you can reach me at contact@diviaparekh.com, and my website is www.diviaparekh.com. Take that moment, connect with me, and there is a free report that will help you in your goal setting and visioning, which is such a great continuation of our conversation today. And thank you again, everyone. Thank you, listeners. And until next time, be powerful and stay cool and enjoy your summer. Take care.
Thank you.
And bye-bye for now.
Thank you.
Bye.